This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
There was a very good response to the shiur last week. But one question wasn't asked afterwards, which rather surprised me. Should I give you a few minutes to remember what we talked about last week? Sorry? Chinese restaurants. And that is, it creates a rather boring sort of individual. You'll say to him, would you like an egg this morning for breakfast? And he'll start figuring out whether he needs protein or not. And when he comes to the conclusion, yes, he could do with an egg. And you say, would you like a scrambled egg or a fried egg or a soft-boiled egg? You'll say, it makes no difference. I need an egg. Fish up an egg. Makes no difference. Give it to me raw. So it's good. Makes no difference. Raw is probably the healthiest. And if I'm supposed to have what I need, then let me take it in that way. Because I heard at the Motzei Shabbos shiur that I mustn't have anything that I don't need. So why bother cooking it? Is there any place for individual taste? Person likes A and doesn't like B. Young man decides time to get married, so he goes to see the shadchan, and the shadchan says, good, what kind of girl would you like? He says, what difference does it make? I need a wife, get me a wife, what's the difference? That's almost how we came out last week. The Medrash in this week's Sedra asks the question more dramatically. It quotes from the Pasuk in Ashrei, Poseach es yodecho umasbia lechul chai rotzoin. God opens his hand and satisfies to every living being his desire, rotzoin, his will, what he wants. Lechol chai mozoin en k'tiv kan, says the Medrash. It doesn't say he gives everybody what food they need. It says rotzon ele lechol chai rotzon shu nosein lechol echod ve'echod rotzono mashu mevakesh. Doesn't say that he gives everybody mezoino, he gives everybody his food. That's what it should say according to last week's shiur. But it doesn't. It says nosein lechol chai rotzon. It gives every person what he wants. Since when does the Ribbono Shel Olam respond to our desires? And we learned that all that's important is our needs. And we praise the Ribbono Shel Olam with that. It's a shvach. V'chein le'osid lovoi. And so it'll be in time to come. Noisein HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'kol echod ve'echod kol mashu mevakesh. The Ribbono Shel Olam will give every human being everything he pleases. Everything he desires. V'im tome'ato al adova. And if that amazes you, the Medrash is already realizes that we might find this rather peculiar since we learned differently last week. You don't even have to look to some time in the distant future. Just look and see, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do to Yisrael in this world? Shehorid lohem hamon, where he brought down for them the mon shehoyo boi kol mine ta'amim. And this mon had all sorts of different tastes in it. And every Jew could taste whatever he wanted. It wasn't dependent on what he needed, it was whatever he wanted. These 40 years, Moshe says to Yisrael, God has been with you, you lacked no matter. What is this matter that he says you didn't lack? When a person wanted to, he had a taiva, he had a desire to eat a particular thing. He wanted an ice cream. And in the desert there were no ice creams, only mon. And he said, if only I had one ice cream. As he said it, as he was eating the mon, it would automatically take on the taste of ice cream. They used to say a word, and God would do their will. Rabbi Abba says, they didn't even have to say it. They just had to think. They think that they've got very far now with these modern computers that you don't have to type anything in, you just have to touch it, touch the screen. The Ribbono Shel Olam's computer, all you have to do is think. and he automatically responded according to Rabbi Abba. He just had to think in his mind, Ma'ashenafshu misave, what he desires, or Ya'akadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Tzoyin, and God did his will. And he would taste whatever he was craving. To the Medrash. So we see that the Ribbono Shel Olam respected the tastes of each individual and responded to those tastes. He was prepared to give according to the tastes. It wasn't something which he felt was possible, something which he felt was unacceptable and undesirable, something which he encouraged. And this we need to understand. We're going to have to make some chilukim this evening. We're going to have to make some distinctions between different types of desires. Firstly, we have here a distinction between a quantitative and a qualitative desire. The only desire this medrash talks about is the desire, once I've decided that I need the food, then the question is, in what form should I take the food? How should the food taste when I eat it? That's something which is up to taste. That's optional. An individual could choose. But when it comes to the actual desire for the food altogether, then it says, in our Sedra, Hashem said to Moshe, Hinani mamtir lochem lechem min hashamayim, I shall cause to rain down for you bread from the heavens. Ve'yotzo ha'om ve'loktu devar yom b'yomei, and the people will go out and collect each day sufficient for that day. Leman anasenu hayalech b'sirosu imloi, so that I may try them to see if they will go in my Torah or not. What does that mean, says Rashi? To test im yishmeru mitzvahis hatluyos boy, whether they will respect the halachas that surround this mon. Shelo yoytiru mimenu velo yetsu b'shabbos lilkot, that they will leave nothing over of it and they will not go out on Shabbos to gather in. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to test. So there you can't say desire, I want more. You want more, you can't have more. Sorry, each one is fixed. How much each one gets and you can't. I need more. It's Friday and tomorrow I can't go out and collect. I need more. Sorry. Your needs are fixed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't respect the individual's right to determine his own needs. Your own needs, that the Ribbono Shel Olam determines what you need. You don't know what you need. We don't know sometimes how little we can manage with. Sometimes a person thinks that he couldn't manage with less. And never something happens that he has to manage with less and he manages. We don't know what we need. Sometimes we think we can manage with a little bit and we can't. What the job the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do, we can't do in the little bit that we've got. Who knows what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us? Who knows what we need, both in terms of minimum and maximum? Who knows how little we need and who knows how much we need? We don't know these things. When it comes to deciding what do I need, the answer is not, you're not the best judge of what you need. And as we learned last week, nor is your doctor or your psychologist or your lawyer. There's only one who can decide what you need, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why we don't tailor our working hours to our needs, because we don't know what we need. We tailor our working hours to the halacha. The Torah advises us how much to work and how much not to work. And within that, we try and do our best, and we assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam will find ways within that period of time bringing us everything we need. We need more, we get more. We need less, we get less. A rotzen, once I've decided that I need more. It's only that measure. I'm taking as much as the Ribbono Shel Olam has given to me. I'm not craving for more quantity. It's not that I want to fill my stomach with more. No. What the Ribbono Shel Olam has decided, this is all I need, that's fine. This normally lasts for one day, and today it's Friday, and it just lasts the morning. It was absolutely the exact amount. There was nothing left over. By the next morning, there was nothing left. It was figured out exactly in accordance with the needs of each family. And Friday, can you imagine their first Friday, where they've got to go out and pick the same amount as they picked on Thursday and Wednesday and on Tuesday, and it's got to last for the whole of Friday and for the whole of Shabbos, and they're not going to get more until Sunday. How terrified they must have been. But if they've got to this level, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to test. Are you prepared to put your needs in my hands? Are you prepared to let me decide what you need? Good, so they've decided, yes. And they relaxed. And they have a good Friday night meal, and they don't hold back thinking, oh, who knows if there'll be anything left tomorrow. They eat as they're supposed to. But it comes questions of taste. One family wants chicken, one family wants cholent, one family wants fish, one family wants curried fish, one family wants gefilte fish with chrein. What is the Rebbeinu Shem going to do? To say, stop being fussy. All you need is the protein or the this or the that. The mon is giving you everything you need. You still want chrein with it? What's going on with you? The answer is no. The Rebbeinu Shem says, you want chrein, mein kind? No problem. It'll have the taste of chrein. You want it to be fried fish, it'll be fried fish. You want it to be gefilte fish, it'll be gefilte fish. Whatever you want. All of a sudden, this harsh Rebbeinu Shlomo says, I will decide what you need, responds openly with this willingness and this desire to please and to give them what they want. The answer is, once your needs have been defined, if there are options as to what form these needs can take, that's where personal taste comes in. That's where not only is each individual entitled to choose, but should choose. It's important when one's teaching a child to eat, or when one's feeding a child, is not to mush all the food up together and just to make one big mush out of it so that he doesn't know what he's eating and he can't distinguish between the foods. One must teach him the taste of the different things. You want to mush because he can't chew. Then you mush things up separately. You mush his carrots up, and you mush his potatoes up, and you mush his fish up. And you teach him, this is carrots, and this is potatoes. And you encourage him to develop tastes. There's nothing wrong with that. There seems to be an importance in taste. That's part of human personality. Can you imagine if we all had the same taste? Can you imagine if we all wanted the same, strove for the same, desired the same? Firstly, the world would be thoroughly boring, and secondly, it would be in absolute turmoil. Everybody would want to sit in the same place. Everybody would want to eat the same food. Everybody would want to live in the same house, to marry the same wife. It would be impossible. The world couldn't operate. The way we're able to get on with one another is because there are so many different tastes. That's what enables us to live together in a competitive world without competing. What you want this place for you, what I want this place for me, Baruch Hashem, different people have got different tastes. Here we see that as long as the needs are not, or the desires are not in the area of need and not in the quantitative area, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is prepared to respect it. There is a time when one's desires are based in the Yetzer Hara. That we learned last week. You desire something. Why do you desire it? You desire it. It's the Yetzer Hara that wants it. Man comes along and he says, I need to kill so and so. That's what my psychologist says, that I have deep aggressive tendencies. And I have to express these aggressive tendencies by murdering so and so, and then I'll feel better. He tells me that if I don't, I'm going to die. It's going to get worse and worse. So we say, forget that nonsense. That's nonsense. You don't have such a need. You have a desire to murder your friend, not a need. No, he says, okay, I desire. So what? That desire comes from the Yetzer Hara. That's not a kosher desire. As we learned last week, it is not possible to improve your health by killing others. Can't be. The two things go against one another. It is not possible to improve your mental being by transgressing principles of moral being. Can't be. Doesn't work that way. Immorality does not breed mental health. Immorality breeds mental insanity. There's no such thing as a man saying, I need to be over this Aveira with this particular woman. That's what my psychologist tells me, as they do tend to say. There's no such thing. Can't be. Yet here we see there's a Rotzin which must have as its source, Kedusha, must come from the Neshama. Otherwise the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wouldn't respect it so much. There is such a thing as a man saying, I desire this, and that desire doesn't come from the Yetzer Hara. That desire comes from a Makor HaKadusha. It actually comes from a holy place. It has a holy root to it. There's nothing wrong with it. The Europeans, particularly the French and the Belgians, are very good at making a religion out of eating, where they make themselves believe that what they're after is not the food. Chas v'shalom. What do you think? They're animals. It's the taste. It's the way it's cooked. And so they eat very small portions. They look down very severely on the Americans who eat large portions. And they regard that as very uncivilized. What's important is the subtle tastes, and it's taka delicious. They know how to cook. It has, among the Yidden, we've also got the Hungarians are talented in that direction. There are people who know how to make something very ordinary taste like something unbelievable. But what would happen if you invited a Belgian or a Frenchman to dinner and you gave him the taste without the food? Would he be satisfied? No, he wouldn't. He didn't have dinner yet. You just gave him the taste. That's not good enough. That shows that what we're really talking about here is, again, it's a desire. But is it a desire for taste or for quantity? Is it a qualitative or a quantitative one? When he sits down to his meal and his mouth starts watering, what is it watering for? To put the meat into his stomach or to taste the delicious flavors? So he has convinced himself it's to taste the delicious flavors. That's all. Yet, if you take away the meat and you only give him the delicious flavors, he's not satisfied. That shows that it is possible to get confused between the two. And to be after quantity when you think you're after quality. That one has to be careful of. The mon was exactly that. Mon was taste without food. That's what it was. Mon wasn't physical food. And that's what they complained about later. Lechem aklikel, this light food that doesn't satisfy. It was unable to satisfy them quantitatively. They didn't feel full after a meal. And eventually it got them aggravated. But at this stage where they can absorb it and where they can understand and utilize this food, what does it mean? It's completely qualitative. Their rotso and their desires are completely qualitative. They have a need for nourishment. The nourishment comes from the mon. It's like imagine taking your meals by means of little tablets. If they'll develop the skills, chas v'sholem, of being able to put everything you need in a meal in one little tablet. And that's what it'll be. It'll invite you over to dinner and you'll sit down and everybody will take their tablet and thank you very much. You can go home now. You've got all the nutritional needs that I would have given you in a dinner. That's what the mon was. It gave them all their nutritional needs, but it had an extra mile as well. It had the taste. But the one thing it didn't have was the substance. It was like a combination of that, of taking that pill that we talked about, together with delicious sauces. So all you have are these sauces with all the different tastes, and this tablet, so you've got all your vitamins and all your proteins and all your carbohydrates, whatever you need to function, as well as the most delicious and divine tasting sauce. At the end of the meal, your stomach still feels empty. That's how they were. And the fact that they were satisfied with that shows that their desire for taste was not a desire for quantity. It wasn't a desire for matter. That was need, and need is in the hand of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now that their need has been fulfilled, they have been given the option to have it dished up in various different forms. And it's up to the individual to choose, to use his own personality in choosing how he wants it dished. And that's something which the Ribbono Shel Olam expects and respects. There are other areas where rotzoin can cross the borderline between a rotzoin, a desire rooted in the Yetzer Hara, and a desire rooted in a good kosher place. What happens if a person wants something which is against the law, against the halacha? He wants something that is also. That's a sign that it's not a kosher desire, it's a treif desire. It's a desire which comes from the Yetzer Hara. It's not his essential spiritual being that desires it. We'll understand that a little bit later. But there's another area where desires become problematic. What happens where two people want the same thing and there's only one? If those desires are rooted in Kedusha, how do you resolve them? And that we in fact have another medrash that deals with the same subject. This is a medrash on the Megillah. Achashverosh throws a party. And what is the purpose of this party? In typical conformity to the policy of Achashverosh, La'asoyis kirtsoin ish vo'ish. To fulfill the desires of every single man. But nobody should want something that he can't get at this particular party. And that was Achashverosh's policy, as is the policy of most politicians. Omer le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't understand this king, he says. Ani, me, eini yotzei midei briyosai. I don't manage to do whatever everybody wants. I don't do this. No, one can't say that the Ribbono Shel Olam can't, because I don't. Ve'atzel mevakish la'aseh kirtzoin ish ve'ish. And you want to satisfy the desires of every single human being. Where do you get such lofty ideals from? I don't even strive for that. B'noach sheba'ilam. And this is a normal, natural thing, says God. Shnei b'nei Adam, if two human beings, mevakshim liso isho achas. Two men want to marry one woman. Yecholo yili yinose l'shneim? Is it possible for her to satisfy both men? Chela olazeh, she knows that she's got to, in order to satisfy one, she's going to have to disappoint one. That's the way life is. You can't satisfy everybody. Because when two people want conflicting things, in order to satisfy the one, you have to disappoint the other. And that is the first fundamental principle of leadership. That you as the leader are going to have to decide who you'll satisfy and who you'll disappoint. Because you can't possibly satisfy everybody. V'chein shtei svinus. And likewise, two ships, shoyu'ilis b'liyamin, two ships leaving the harbor, achas mevakeshes ruach tzvinis. They can be tzaddikim on both ships. The captain and the sailor can all be tzaddikim if there was ever such a thing. And each one is davening. As the ship goes out, the captain and all his sailors get together in the Beis HaMedrash on the ship, and they start davening. They want a ruach tzvinis, a northerly wind. The Echod, and there's another ship only half a kilometer away. Also, everybody davening, also tzaddikim, vakeshis ruach dromis. They want a southerly wind. They're going in different directions. There's nothing wrong with either of them. It's perfectly mutter. Yecholu hi aruach achas lahani geshteim ke'achas. Is it possible for one wind to push both ships? Ela oilezu, oilezu. I have to decide, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Either one's going to get the wind or the other. But it's not possible to satisfy them both. L'macha, tomorrow he says to Achashverosh, Shnei b'nei Adam boim l'fanecha, two men will come before you. Bedin, both with tainas, both with claims. Ish Yehudi v'ish tzar v'oyev. One will be Mordechai, the Jew, and one will be a miserable wretch called Haman. Yochel atol latzeis yidei shneim. Do you think you'll be able to fulfill the desires of both? I will teach you once and for all, Achashverosh, that there comes a time when even a politician has to make his choices. And you have to decide. You're going to back A or you're going to back B, but you can't back them both. One you will have to elevate and one you will have to hang. You're not going to manage to elevate them both.
Since in this world, when a northerly wind blows, no southerly wind can blow. And when a southerly wind blows, no northerly wind can blow. But in the time to come, when the Ribbono Shel Olam will gather us from all the nations, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Ani mevi ruach argastim, I'm going to bring a powerful wind, lo'ilam, to the world, sheshtei ruchos meshamshos boi, where two different directional winds will operate together. Mihuze shoyse ratzoin yireyov. Who is it that can fulfill the desires of his yireyim, of those who fear him? It's not Achashverosh, and it's no human being at all. Ze hakadosh baruch hu. Shekosuv boy, about whom it is said, ratzoin yireyov yase veshavosum yishma v'yeshiyim. Hashem performs the will of his, those who fear him, and he hears their cries and saves them. So here we have a second posuk on the same theme. The first medrash on our sedra is based on the posuk of Poseach is Yodechu Matzbia Lechol Chai Rotzoin. You open your hand and give to every man that which he wants, not that which he needs. And in Ashrei as well, we have another posuk. Rotzoin Yireyov Yaseh, the Ribbono Shel Olam fulfills the will, not the need, the will of those who fear him. The two examples that the medrash gives are the two examples we were talking about. One where the impossibility of a man's desires, or the impossibility of the fulfillment of the man's desires, is caused by it being halachically unacceptable. Two men want to marry one wife. Also, can't be. And the other where it is physically impossible, where nature doesn't allow it. We see the principle, the same principle existing in nature, existing in halacha as well. There are certain incompatible desires that cannot both be fulfilled. However, the Medrash says, in time to come, the Ribbono Shel Olam will change nature. And it will be possible to fulfill the desires of different people in conflicting areas. And you can have two ships coming out of the port, one wanting to go north and one wanting to go south. They can be both sailing ships, because the price of petrol in those days will be such as not to make petrol ships viable anymore. And we'll have sailing ships again. And he'll be able to fulfill the will of both of them. One wind will be able to come and push the one northwards and the one southwards. And what about the two men who want to marry the same woman? How is the Ribbono Shel Olam going to fulfill their will? There we need to understand an important principle. We've said already that it appears that a rotzen or a taiva, a desire, can have its roots either in a holy place or in the Yetzirah. It's one of the two. One can want something, and that is a desire which the Ribbono Shel Olam is prepared to fulfill, even though it's by no means a necessity, it's a matter of taste and pleasure. And one can want something else, which is completely a function of the Yetzirah. What we do see here is where have we had occasions where the Ribbono Shel Olam has fulfilled desires? We've had it with Amon, with the Dorodea, the generation who came out of Egypt. The Medrash says it will be Le'osid Lavoi, again after the coming of Mashiach we'll have such a situation where it will be possible. And in between we've got the Pasuk which says Ratzon Yireyov Yase. In between, the Ribbono Shel Olam does it for those who fear him. So the door, the generation that came out of Egypt, he did it for everybody. Whoever wanted got that test. La'osid lovoi, in time to come, he'll do it for everybody. Now, he'll do it for his yirei. That's all. The reason is, because the door, the generation that came out of Mitzrayim, were all yireim. They were all God-fearing people. The generation, la'osid lovoi, after the coming of Mashiach, will all be God-fearing people. The only problem is now in between, where we have some people who are God-fearing and some who are not. So that's qualified. But the principle is only with Yireyov. And therefore we find an interesting concept, that the fulfillment of desire depends on the degree of Yireh, the degree of God-fearingness. The more God-fearing a person, the more the Ribbono Shel Olam will facilitate the fulfillment of his desires. If he's not a God-fearing person, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't facilitate the fulfillment of his desires. And on the contrary, then we have the principle, Ein odo meis v'chatzi ta'avose biyodei. A person never dies with half his desires, dies fulfilled. No matter how much he's achieved, he wanted more. But not the Yireim. With the Yireim, it would appear that Ratzon Yireyov Yaseh, what they want, the Ribbono Shel Olam does. Why is that? You'll remember a little piece in Pirkei Avos. In the second Perek, Hu Aya Omer, he used to say, that's Rabbi Gamliel ben Yosher Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, Asei Ratzoinoi ki Ratzoinecho, Kedei Sheyasei Ratzoincho ki Ratzoinoi. Make or do his will like your own will, so that he will do your will like his will. That's what Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, says. What's the pshat? Firstly, we see that there is such a thing as Ritzoinecha. We see there is such a thing as your will. It doesn't say simply, make the two wills the same, then there would no longer be your will. It says, make his will like your will. So the Mishnah is already acknowledging that you have a Ratzon of your own. All the Mishnah wants is that you will make God's will like your own will, but that you have a will is accepted. Kedei sheyaseh ratzoncho, so God will make your will like his will. Again, acknowledging the existence of your own Ratzon. Already from here there's a kasha on last week's shir. What does it mean, Ritzoincha? I shouldn't have a Rotzoin. I have a need, a Tzorich. A Tzorich is legitimate. A Rotzoin should be illegitimate. The Mishnah should say, Batel Ritzoincha, full stop. That should be the whole Mishnah. Have no will.
Ase Ritzoinoi Kirtzoinecha. Rotzoin, that which one desires, that which one wants, is something which one can be responsible for. It's not something which is beyond one's control. It is possible to achieve a rotzon as one pleases, to actually control and direct one's own rotzonis. With a taiva, it's a little bit more difficult. When it comes to a taiva, to a craving, a physical craving, it's more difficult. But a rotzon which is based in the neshama, which is a spiritual thing, and therefore the intellect can govern it, that's a new concept. That we can want what we want is a tremendous chiddush. That we can desire what we want to desire. We are barabatim, we are our own masters over our own desires, and the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to utilize those desires. What does he want us to do? Asei ritzoinoi kirtzoincha. Make his will like your will. What does it mean? What does God want of us? That there should be a synthesization of wills. That's all. What do I want? I want to make the Ribbono Shel Olam happy. That's my will. That's what I want. Take the Ribbono Shel Olam's wills, take the Ratzon Hashem, and make that your will. Or the Mishnah says, Kirtzonecha, make it like your will. We'll see in a moment why the Mishnah says that. Make it like your will. It's not that I want really to do X, but the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do Y, I'll do Y. It's since the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to do Y, I'm going to do Y as if I want it. It's going to be, I do want it, it becomes my desire. And we're able to elevate our desires from a lower level onto a much higher plateau. I'm able to want greater things than I used to want. And in fact, that's where you really measure who an individual is. By what he desires, by what he wants. And it's not always so clear what people want. Because people like to think that they want things that they sometimes don't want. Because with wanting comes responsibility. You'll have a man who says, I would like to become the managing director of my company. But when you really question him, is he really prepared to take the responsibilities of being the managing director of his company, you find he's not really. What he really means is he would like to become the managing director without the responsibility. That's what he wants. He would like the yichus without the responsibility. That's really what he means. Find a person who says, I would like to understand this piece of Gemara. And you say, sure, you would really like to? He says, I would love it. There's nothing I want more. So no problem, sit down. We'll start. It's quite within your grasp. And he's so pleased, he grins from ear to ear, he's so happy. You say, but 1 minute, before we start, you need to understand a few things. You want to understand this Gemara? You're not going to sleep tonight. And he says, no, but I've got to work tomorrow. Okay, so what you're saying is, I would like to understand this Gemara and sleep tonight too. I would like the benefits of understanding the Gemara without having to put the effort in. That's what he really means that he wants. He doesn't mean he would like to understand it. So we sometimes get very confused in what we want. Normally what we want is we want the benefits of something without the responsibilities. But when a person really wants something, and that is measured by the extent to which he goes after it. There's no such thing as a person saying, I want it, and you see he's making no effort to get it. That's a sign that he doesn't want it. It's not possible. One doesn't want something and not strive for it. But if you see a person is really striving for something with all his might, that means he wants it. And it's by what a man wants that you measure who he is. You'll find one man whose ambition is to get into the Springbok rugby team. And he works for it, and he craves for it, and he toils for it, and he makes sacrifices for it. And he gets there eventually, or he doesn't get there, it's not important. We're looking at him, a man dedicated to an ambition and to a goal. You find another man who wants to know a Masechta properly. And you see him learning, putting in the same effort, working. The one is up all night and the other one is up all night. And the one is working all day and the other one is working all day. And the one's family never sees him and the other one's family never sees him. What's the difference? The one wants to become a Talmid Chochem and the one wants to become a Springbok. That's all. I wonder what Darwin would have said if he heard about human beings striving to become Springbok. An interesting thing. But that's what he wants. And the measure of where a human being is what he wants, what he desires. That's where one can start being mechalek. Not everybody has the same opportunity. You don't measure a person by his opportunity.
And a person is not a Talmid Chacham, so for that reason, is he a nobody? Depends why he's not a Talmid Chacham. Does he want to be a Talmid Chacham? That's what's important, not what he is. What he is can be for many reasons. What he is can mean because the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bless him with intelligence. Where he is can mean the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bless him with a background. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bless him with certain knowledge. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bless him with opportunity. It can be anything. That's no reason to look down upon him as a human being. What is a reason to look upon people differently is, what do they want? What are they driving for? What do they want out of life? They're rotzoin. Is it asei rotzoinoi kirtzoincha? Have they taken upon themselves God's will and said, this is my will, this is what I want, this is what I strive for? What's the consequence of that? Kedei sheyaseh ritzoincha kirtzoinoi. So that God will make your will like His will. But your will is His will already. What's it talking about? I've now synthesized my will with God's. What does it mean that Ribbono Shel Olam will now make my will like His will? It's already the same. So we see that even after synthesizing my will with God's, there are still two wills. There's still the Ribbono Shel Olam in mine. What is that? That's the hard-boiled egg story. When it comes to breakfast time, and my wife says to me, would you like a scrambled egg or a fried egg? I say, I've made the Ribbono Shel Olam's will is my will. If she had any sense, she would call Trevor over immediately and say, look, I think you better see my husband. This is, you know, he doesn't like psychologists, but this time he needs one, for sure. I asked him what he wants for breakfast, and he answers me, this is the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, what the Ribbono Shel Olam cares whether he has fried or scrambled. The answer is, there's still such a thing as a rotzen. So I'll say, good, my rotzen. So this doesn't come into the geder, this doesn't come into the area of asei rotzoinoi kirtzoinecha, make God's will like my will, because God doesn't care if I have fried or scrambled. He wants me to decide, whatever you prefer. All other things being equal. So I say, good, you know, I prefer scrambled eggs. That's what I want. Now you have a problem. There's no milk, she tells me, and the egg beater's broken. All sorts of difficulties she's just discovered. That's a big letdown. Asei retzoinoi kirtzoincha kedei sheyaseh retzoincha kirtzoinoi. The Ribbono Shel Olam turns your will into His will. You want scrambled eggs. It's a silly little thing. Doesn't matter. That's retzoincha. That's what you want. I'll make it like my own will. This will become kiddush. This will be done. Because it's important. You made my will like yours. I'll make your will like mine. This is no longer an ordinary little thing. This has its makor in kedusha. That's what it has. If that's what you want, and you're a Yorei Shamayim, and you want scrambled eggs, you shall have it, because that's from Kedusha. And that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam treats them with the mon. So how important is it whether it tastes like this or it tastes like that? Very important, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because you are a nation who have made my will like your will, you should know. Your will is not just some little thing, some little nonsense that we don't have to respond to and that we don't have to recognize. Your will is important to me, the same as my will has become important to you. And I will fulfill your will and your desire, having made my will like yours. And one begins to understand. When a person is living on the level of Yiro, when a person is living on the level where he understands, his needs are in God's hands. And all he has to do to fulfill the needs is to live al pi Torah. That's all. If he lives in accordance with the halacha, his needs will be fulfilled. That's a Yorei Shamayim. That's a person who fears God. Gemara says, and Rashi brings in Gemara Yuma on our Sedra, how terrified they were that maybe for a moment they would forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Can you imagine living 40 years like that? Thinking, if God slips my mind for a moment, maybe I'll have nothing to eat tomorrow. We don't live like that because we don't feel it quite the same, because there's food in the pantry. So we feel a little bit more secure. Because our security, we're not religious people, you see. Our security comes from the pantry. Their security used to come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the difference. So we have food in the pantry, we feel secure. If the food runs out in the pantry and there's no money in the bank and we run overdraft and the bank manager's phoned us twice already, we feel insecure. That's where our security is. They had no food in the pantry and they had no money in the bank. They didn't have any bank managers either, they were lucky. But money in the bank they didn't have, they didn't need bank managers. Where was their bitochen? Where was their security? The Ribbono Shel Olam. But they knew one slip and no food tomorrow. The Ribbono Shel Olam literally dished them out day by day their rations for that day. And it was at the Ribbono Shel Olam's pleasure whether they were going to get more food the next day. To live like that for 40 years? Terrified to put a foot wrong? And often we say, the Kuzari talks about it, often we say, B'nai Yisrael, and look at this, and they complained about that, and they complained about the other. Had we lived in that time and seen all those miracles, would we have complained about such silly things? Do you realize that that's all they ever did wrong, were those 10 times that they complained? 10 times in 40 years they complained. Once they had no water, they were dying of thirst. Once they had no food, they were dying of hunger. Twice, 3 times they had no water, they were dying of thirst. And once of food, that's 4 of the complaints. They were really starving to death when they complained. And if one goes through all the times, one understands on our level, it was nothing what they did. 10 times in 40 years they complained. For the rest of the time, they lived 100% in accordance with Torah. They didn't deviate, kiyuzeh, not the littlest bit. And they were terrified to deviate. Maybe no food tomorrow, quite apart from anything else. A Yorei Shemayim lives on that level. That's how he operates. All I have to do to get my needs fulfilled is keep the Torah. That's it. Within my needs now, I have will, I have desires. Is it possible that he would desire something against the halacha? Is it possible that he would desire something treif? That he would desire something osur? No. Because Asei Ritzoyincha, Ritzoyino Kirtzoyincha. He has synthesized the Ribbono Shel Olam's will with mine. Whatever God wants me to do, I want, I strive for. Whatever He doesn't want me to do, I want not to do. I strive not to do it. It's not possible that He's going to want something which is awesome. It is possible that He's going to want something which is physically unattainable. He wants to go south and the other person wants to go north. He's sitting in a room and it's cold and he wants to turn the heating on, and the other person sitting in the same room and he's hot, he wants to turn the air conditioning on. What then? Then says the Medrash, the Ribbono Shel Olam, unlike Achashverosh Lahavdil, Taka can fulfill the wills, the desires of each tzaddik, of each Yorei Shemayim, even when they appear to be in conflict. Asay Ritzoincho, Ritzoino Kirtzoincho, so that he will Asay Ritzoincho Kirtzoino. He will make sure that you have your will. Kirtzoino, the same as his own. Your will becomes important and it becomes a Dovah Shebikdusha, it becomes something holy and something which must be given expression to. And so we find, concluding last week's shiur, that it is not possible to need something which is treif. Can't be. When I say to need something which is treif, I mean to need something which the halacha forbids. Clearly we know that if a person is dying and he needs to eat pork, we know that the halacha allows him to eat pork. But we're talking about needing something which the halacha doesn't allow under any circumstance. Needing to murder. Needing to be sexually immoral. Needing to perform idolatry. There's no such thing. Nobody needs it. It's not necessary. Sometimes one desires it. Now comes the question on the desires. If one desires something which is osur, something which is treif altogether, you know that that comes from the Yetzer Hara, and that's just something one has to forget about. It's a desire, not a need, and can't be fulfilled. That's the end of the story. Last week we learned about a kosher desire. A desire to eat Chinese food kosher style, or kosher food Chinese style. Nothing treif about that. And we said, sure, there's nothing wrong with it, but ge'ula, that you can't achieve that way. Redemption, you can't achieve that way. Kedusha, you can't achieve that way. This, that people, once they're already frum, search for further kicks out of Yiddishkeit, but want to hang on to their old habits at the same time, that can't be. Says the Ramban, kadesh atzmecho b'mutar lach. If you want to reach these new spiritual heights, it's necessary to sanctify yourself in those areas which are mutar. You're allowed, it's kosher. Just you don't need it. So don't have it. That's if you want to reach levels of kedusha. And I repeat what I said last night, that I don't think, I'm talking for myself, I don't know about anybody else, I'm not on that level. I'm not holding by kedusha. And it's not, the purpose of these shiurim is not to suggest that everybody starts becoming kedusha. What it does suggest is, A, don't expect to feel like a kodush if you're not yet on the level of acting like one. You can't feel all these elevated kicks and reach these highs, because if you do feel it, you must know it's an absolute illusion. It's not real. The way you feel kedusha is kadesh atzmecho b'mutalach. When you can say no to yourself, even in areas which are permitted simply because you don't need it, that's when you'll start feeling kedusha, not before then. And the second purpose in this shiurim is that everybody can try and taste it a little bit. Doesn't mean that from now on one has to say no to everything which is not a need. We're not there yet. We're not holding them. And but what I'm particularly identify their wives' desires as opposed to needs. Maybe not so easily themselves, but every time their wife wants a new dress, they'll start making a cheshbon on the mitzvah sheet. When they want to go on holiday, it's definitely a need. When the wife wants to go overseas, it's a desire. That one has to be very careful with, that one doesn't use these things incorrectly. But that we'll have an opportunity to deal with at the Tuesday night shiurim. But there is such a thing as beginning to taste it a little bit, to actually feel what Kedusha is like, to be able to say no to yourself, even though it's kosher, it's just not necessary. And occasionally to do that, just to be able to feel the tastes of Kedusha, of being able, particularly when one does it for the right purposes. We've got a person who's sitting in a shiur, or he's learning his Gemara with chewing gum in his mouth. So he's got to decide for himself, it's not necessary. There's no question that there will be more Kedusha in his learning without the chewing gum. Is it treif? No, it's glatt kosher chewing gum. It's six hechsheri. So what's wrong with it? Where does it say in the Shulchan Aruch that you can't eat chewing gum while you're learning Gemara? It doesn't say anywhere. But throw the chewing gum out and you'll learn better. That it does say. And one needs to try and do that here and there in areas where one can see the direct connection between elevating oneself and doing it. Each one on their own level in their own little way. And certainly one should do it with things that are actually harmful. With those desires which are actually not good for one, there certainly one should use this tack. But then, today what we saw was a different thing. That even in Kedusha, there is such a thing as wanting a specific taste. I need meat. I've got to have some, that's what I need to eat at the moment. Now that I need it, let me at least choose the kind of meat I want, the sauce that I want to go with the meat. I need to have salad, let me have a dressing with the salad. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, on the basis of last week's shiur alone, we would have said yes. Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. Now we're saying something else. I'm going to eat it in any case. I need it. The only question is it going to have taste A, or taste B, or taste C? How important or valid is it for me to express a desire there? And to say I prefer A rather than B, rather than C? The answer we learn tonight is very important. As long as one is a Yorei Shamayim, if one has made God's will as one's own, the Ribbono Shel'Olam respects our will as His. He wants to see us express that will. And he wants to respond to that will. Because in that will, there is Kedusha. When a Yorei Shamayim says, I want something, I feel like something, God will be Yisrael, and Odom Kodesh, the Chofetz Chaim says, I would like a little bit of something. Says to his wife, imagine the Chofetz Chaim says, I would like some gefilte fish. Would she say to him, must you have gefilte fish? Fried fish is not good enough. I'm sure that if she would say such a thing, he would definitely realize that she doesn't have gefilte fish. And he would say, oh, fried fish, of course it's good enough. I didn't know you had it. It would be wonderful. But assuming she has both, would he say, I would like a little bit of gefilte fish? Would she say it? What difference does it make? Just bring out the easiest one, the quickest one? No. If a Chofetz Chaim says, I would like, that's like the Ribbono Shel Olam would like. That's as asesh k'desh yaseh ritzoin cho kirtzoin noi. That becomes Kedusha itself. If he says, I like, I would like. That's not just I would like. That becomes the Ribbono Shel Olam would like it too. Even though it's just a desire. It's not just a desire. It's the desire of a Kodesh. It's the desire of a holy person. And a desire of a holy person has Kedusha. The individual tastes, the individual expression of an Odom Kodesh has Kedusha. And it's a Kedusha which the Ribbono Shel Olam encourages and which he respects.